Ching ching, bling bling, let's cut the chatter. Get your popcorn here, it's a Bitcoin Q&A special. Welcome to the Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else podcast. I'm your host, David Tucci, an educator, a father of three. Join me as I take you on a funky journey through life, from a reckless young man to a humbled older man. Each week, I will offer different insights on my life experiences and the experiences of others and how that has shaped our present day realities. So let's begin our funky journey into improving our health, wealth, and you guessed it, everything else.
Bitcoin, please go to moon. Stop going sideways now. Don't ever say we're going down to 1K, but Mr. Novokrat say we have bottomed out. Bottomed out, Novokrat is bullish. Bottomed out, don't ever rise his edge.
Bitcoin, baby. If you're not excited about today's show, then you have absolutely zero interest in possibly the greatest opportunity of our lifetime. Bitcoin would be akin to getting into Amazon when the tech bubble popped and everybody said, Amazon, what's that? Buying stuff online? That's dumb. That won't work. Yeah. Or getting involved in the internet when national talk shows had no idea what the internet was. Listen to this clip from 1994. It's from the Today Show with Greg Gumbel and Katie Couric. Classic stuff.
Back now at 56 past, I wasn't prepared to translate that as I was doing that little tease.
Oh, that's
that
right.
Little mark with the A and then the ring around it.
At?
See, that's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Katie said she thought it was about.
Yeah. Oh.
But I'd never heard it.
Around.
I'd never heard it said. I'd always seen
around.
The mark, but never heard it said. And then it sounded stupid when I said it. Violence at NBC.
I heard be around big or fight about. Up in the lunchroom the other
See,
week.
There it is. Violence at NBC, GE com. I mean,
well, Allison should know. What do you
is
say
internet
about
anyway?
Internet is that massive computer
right.
network,
mm-hmm.
the one that's becoming really big now.
What do you mean? That's big. How does one? What do you write to it like mail?
No, a lot of people use it and communicate. I guess they can communicate with NBC writers and producers. Allison, can you explain what internet is?
No, she can't say anything in 10 seconds or less.
Oh, Allison will be in the studio shortly.
What does it
mean?
It's a giant computer network made up of started from.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us what this was.
It's like a computer
in the
billboard.
It's not a. It's a computer billboard, but it's nationwide,
right.
And it's several universities and everything all joined together.
And right.
And others can access it.
And, right.
And it's getting bigger and bigger all the time.
It came in really handy during the quake. A lot of people, that's how they were communicating out to tell family and loved ones they were okay because all the phone lines were down.
I was telling Katie,
but you don't need a phone line to operate internet.
No.
Really, just classic stuff. And you really want to know something? That is exactly what I feel like now when people ask me about Bitcoin. What? Internet money? Blockchain? What are you talking about? Don't worry, my beautiful friends. Just like Greg Gumbel had no clue what the at symbol was, eventually it became mainstream. So if you do not grasp everything on today's episode, have no fear. And remember Greg Gumbel in 1994. It will all eventually make sense. But before I get into it, let's recap last week, as yesterday, December 6th, was the anniversary of the Montreal massacre. What did I learn from having Nadia on the podcast last week? Well, I learned more than I would have liked to, and it's very apropos that the recap comes from a listener from the U.S. I will not share names and respect her anonymity. She writes, "Hi, everyone. I am a birthday party clown, and I just got back from face painting at a picnic. And here's my take on violence in America. It starts young. And it's more than just letting boys play with guns. It's how we shame them for feeling anything that isn't anger. A four-year-old boy asked me to paint a blue butterfly on his face. Then his mom told me, no, give him something for boys. She turns to dad, a big guy in a jersey, and says accusingly, do you want your son to have a butterfly on his face? I'm thinking, cool, let's bring your husband's masculinity into it too, because your four-year-old kid needs to know that his father would be ashamed of him as well. I really tried, but this woman was so scared of her son wanting a butterfly, she made me paint a skull and bones on his cheek. When I finished the skull, I said to kiddo, you want a little blue butterfly too? He nods. Mom interrupts, you didn't ask me. I say in my kindest fuck you voice, oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was for him. I'm his mother. You need to ask me. I respond with an, I'm sorry, and I wave goodbye to the kid. And actually, I am sorry. I'm sorry that this four-year-old sweet boy is not allowed to love something as miraculous and beautiful as a butterfly. We are teaching them that anger and violence are the only things they are allowed to experience, that to value beauty and elegance is shameful. I know that it was just face paint, but that's sort of my point. Why in the hell are these parents shaming their boys over face paint? Honestly, don't even get me started on the balloons. So the next time you are incredulous about how the government could shut down our national parks or build the pipeline or nuke the planet, think about what this four-year-old boy asked for and what he got. Epilogue. The mom actually complained to my boss. Thank you for that letter. Now that was a recap, and I know that I would not have been able to deliver that type of recap. So again, thank you very much. That is definitely food for thought. Please have discussions around your dinner table, your family room, or wherever else you feel comfortable having these types of discussions. So having said that, let's get on with today's show. I love talking Bitcoin and cryptocurrency as it is a space that moves fast and furiously. But luckily for us, I have my trusted co-host, Tony, the cash man, Rick, asking the questions he has for himself as well as some other people. And since I love a good team effort, I brought with me today Big Shot Bitcoin Bob to help me along the way. Big Shot Bitcoin Bob, can he help you? Big Shot Bitcoin Bob, yes he can. He's got the Bitcoin, you know it's true. He always knows just what to do. Bob and the gang have so much fun. Yes they do. Working together, they get the job done. Big Shot Bitcoin Bob, can he help you? Big Shot Bitcoin Bob, of course he can. I love it. And not to be outdone, like I said, we have Tony the Cashman Rick asking the questions.
I'm Cashman! I'll turn any gold, even broken or scrap jewelry, into cash. Oh, yeah. I'll turn Cartier, Rolex, and Patek watches into cash. Oh, yeah. I'll turn any jewelry into lots of cash. Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of cash. Come and meet me.
Tony, Cashman Rick.
I pay more cash for your used jewelry than anyone. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So without further ado, please welcome Tony, Cashman Rick, and Big Shot Bitcoin Bob to Tucci Talks. Welcome to Tucci Talks. Thanks for coming on the show, gentlemen. This is a special Bitcoin Q&A. I love this topic, but disclaimer, nobody here is a Bitcoin expert, nor are we giving any financial advice. The views expressed here today are the opinions of Bob and I. And a special treat for the listeners, our circle of guys calls Bob Triple B. In wrestling, you have Triple H. Well, we have Triple B. Big Shot Bitcoin Bob. Thanks for coming on. I'm actually honored you came on.
Thanks for having me.
So having said that, the title of this episode is Get Your Popcorn Ready. It's Bitcoin Q&A time. Tony will be asking the questions. Bob and I will do our best to answer. It can get a little bit confusing. We're going to try our best to simplify. And if we don't know the answer, as good educators do, we will research and post it on the website. I encourage the listeners to check out the website, TucciTalk75.com. Having said that, I'm going to pivot now to my great co-host. Welcome back, Mr. Tony Rick.
Thank you very much, Dave. Thanks for having me. Big Shot, how you doing?
I'm doing better now that Bitcoin's at 20,000.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
How good is that nickname, though?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Big Shot, Bitcoin Bob. I love it.
Hilarious.
So you could start if you want, Tog. Let's get the show going.
So I don't know too much about it. I'm just wondering. So I won last year for fantasy.
Yeah.
And I won a little bit of money. And you gave me the option to either take cash or...
In April, right? The prize was $550.
That's right.
And I gave you the option. I said, Mr. Tony Rick, would you like the $550 cash? Or at this moment, right now, you can buy 0.07 Bitcoin. I will invest that for you.
And I chose cash.
Because you are the...
I'm Cashman!
Oh, yeah!
And you guys... And you basically send text.
I mocked you.
Every other day, saying how much of a mistake I made.
Yes. So, latest I said your 0.07 Bitcoin would be worth like around 1,800 Canadian today.
So what you're saying is I made a bad decision.
I think you made a poor investment choice. but you have the cash and you probably
spent it.
And he still has his moniker, the Cash Man.
Oh yeah.
The cash man. Yes.
So my first question is, the episode has to do with Bitcoin. What exactly is Bitcoin? What is it?
Well, it is I'm going to say it's the money of the internet. We're in the new digitized age, and its actual creation was, I did it in the episode number 4, I think, when I did the first Bitcoin episode after the Great Recession, the crash in 2008. There was no more trust for banks. And we think it's a group. Me and Bob think it's a group, but the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto created this Bitcoin, which is basically a peer-to-peer transaction. So me and you can send money over the internet without any third party. So we disintermediate. There's no third party to trust that this transaction's going through. So it's trustless.
Remember Napster with music? You had your computer open and then I could have mine and we could just kind of exchange music.
Yeah.
It kind of has its roots in that idea with cryptography component added.
So,
Bob, wait, that actually, Bob, that's a good segue into explaining to people, because Napster, though, was centralized. What did they do?
Sorry, it was BitTorrent after, my bad.
No, I'm just saying, first it was Napster. They didn't like that. So they went, and it was centralized, so they shut Napster down. Then it went to LimeWire. Remember, it was LimeWire after? Do you remember that or no?
I remember LimeWire.
And then they shut that down. And then you know what happened? BitTorrent, still going on today. You know why? Because BitTorrent is decentralized. There's no central control. Where are you going to shut it down? And it's going on today.
But aren't there disadvantages to there not being a central control?
Like, give me an example.
Like if you lose like, is it insured?
Well, yes.
Well, I'll get to that later. Okay. So Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. It's an internet currency. How do you get it? How would I get Bitcoin?
Okay, there's three ways that you can get it. You can buy it. I can give it to you if I have it. And you would all, it's so easy for you to download a wallet. You can even Google Bitcoin wallets. You're going to have a multitude of results come up to get a wallet. You send me your address and I will send whatever Bitcoin I want. And it's divisible by like 8 decimal places back. That's why initially I said I was going to give you 0.07 Bitcoin, because one Bitcoin currently is like 23,000 Canadian.
So to start in this entire process, I would have to go to a site and download a Bitcoin.
If I wanted to give it to you, or you can go to an exchange, just like you have a stockbroker exchange. You can go to a crypto exchange and set up an account. You validate your ID, verify your ID. In Canada, I've helped a couple people set up their accounts. I give them CoinSquare as the Canadian account. It's in Toronto, and it's very trusted.
So CoinSquare is a crypto exchange?
Exchange. CoinSquare Correct. Is a crypto exchange in Canada. And the last way is you can mine it. I'm sure we're going to get into what mining is. But basically, back in the day, me and Bob, you could use your desktop to mine Bitcoin. All you needed was like a CPU power. Now it's so complicated. You need, like they have mining farms. Companies have invested millions of dollars on these mining farms using a lot of energy and specific, it's called ASICs now, application specific integrated circuits. Basically, their job is to mine Bitcoin.
Okay, what do you mean mine? What
They're solving problem, a mathematical equation. You have to find the number, and it just, it's this complex equation that it solves it. Once it solves it, you get rewarded
with a Bitcoin.
Now, in 2000, when it first started, there were these blocks. It could get confusing. That's why I want to try to simplify. But when you were successful at solving this mathematical problem, the reward was released. And back in 2009, it was 50 Bitcoin you would get per block. In 2012, 4 years later, because it was created in 2008, 4 years later, this is all integrated in the protocol, in the Bitcoin protocol. 4 years later, 2012, when you successfully mined a block, it went to 25, it halved. 2016, it halved to 12.5 Bitcoin. And the most recent one was May 11, around there, 2020, it halved again. Now, if you mine a successful block, miners get 6.25 Bitcoin. It's gonna halve again in 4 years.
What's a block?
So all the transactions that we make, they go in a pool, and it's got to be solved. These transactions have to be validated.
So when you mine a block or
there's many transactions on this block.
So these miners who are mining the blocks, when they mine a block, do they get all the Bitcoin available in that block, or do they get
part? No, some get. It depends. Like there could be multiple that solve. Is that correct, Bob? I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know exactly, because then there's that mempool. It gets complicated.
And then there's also a little bit of transactions that the miner that wins the block reward gets that little fee as well. All the transaction fees in there. So, and this is all on the blockchain. You could go to Bitcoin blockchain, and all the transactions are all, it's all transparent.
So if I sent you,
unlike our union,
if I sent you, if I sent you a fraction of a Bitcoin, like 0.1 Bitcoin, you can go on the blockchain and see that. And it's there for everyone to see. It's transparent.
That transaction that was sent to me.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so besides mining Bitcoin and stuff, I just want to take it kind of from the beginning. So if I go to what was the crypto exchange in Toronto?
CoinSquare.
Okay, so if I go to CoinSquare's website, coinsquare.ca?
.io.
CoinSquare.io. And then I can open up an account with CoinSquare.
Correct.
And by opening up an account with CoinSquare, I can buy different cryptos.
So yeah.
You put your fiat money from your bank account, or you wire it, e-transfer it into that CoinSquare account. Once the cash settles, let's say you have $5,000 Canadian in there. Now there's a list of coins you can buy, and you're free to buy them.
So then when I buy, okay, specifically Bitcoin, I'm not talking about
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
Specifically Bitcoin. When I buy Bitcoin, what, so I'm assuming in my account, I can see how much Bitcoin I have.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, and I'm assuming that the value of Bitcoin fluctuates, I don't know, daily, I guess.
Yes.
Correct.
What exactly today, what can I do with it? Like how do I buy something with Bitcoin?
Well, you can look, there's many more of the merchants accepting Bitcoin. For example, I know for a fact that the Sacramento Kings, you can buy tickets with you can buy the basketball tickets with Bitcoin. So if a merchant accepts it, you could use it if you want. But people aren't using – me and Bob were using – we were spending our Bitcoin back in the day. Now we're not anymore.
No.
Because we're going to use it as a store of value, like gold. They're calling gold 2.0 the internet, gold of the internet.
So if I wanted to cash my Bitcoin out with crypto
– CoinSquare, you mean?
CoinSquare.
Yeah. All you have to do is trade it back to Canadian dollars.
And then that money will automatically be put into my account.
Well, you got to withdraw it from your Canadian. You put it back into your bank account.
Right. So I can change the Bitcoin value.
If you want to realize a profit, let's say Bitcoin goes up by 20,000 and you want to realize a profit on that, you can trade it back from Bitcoin to Canadian, realize the profit, and then put it back into your bank account.
No, it's totally interchangeable with other currencies. Let's say you were going on a trip to Europe and you wanted to have your Bitcoin, you take a bit out and convert it to euros because you wanted some euros. You can do that.
You could do that too.
So I can use or purchase Bitcoin using these different crypto sites. Now, if you had Bitcoin and I wanted to buy Bitcoin from you,
then buy it from him.
Yeah, he could. He could give me the cash if I want to sell him.
Yeah.
If I want to sell my Bitcoin to you, I would say, I'll give you 0.1, whatever the value is at the time. Let's say it's $1,000. Give me 1,000 Canadian. I'll send you 0.1.
Now, is this a cash transaction or this transaction leaves a paper trail?
It doesn't leave a paper trail. It leaves a trail on the blockchain, the exchange part of the Bitcoin. The money part, you would have to send him an e-transfer.
Yeah, okay. There's your paper exchange.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'd be an e-transfer exchange or a paper exchange.
Yeah.
So I would download. Okay. So I would download a wallet.
Yeah.
A crypto wallet, a Bitcoin
wallet. There's tons of. There's many wallets.
So what? Like my thing is, how do you know that
CoinSquare has the? You could use a CoinSquare wallet.
How are they safe?
Yeah.
Well, CoinSquare, if you look at a lot of these exchanges, there's one called Binance. They're insured. No different than, you know, how your bank account, your Canadian bank account is insured by the FDIC there for up to 100,000.
Yep.
Well, they're insured. Binance had a situation. They're one of the biggest, right, Dave? I guess Binance.
Yeah, they're the biggest. Now. Yeah.
So there was a hack and they lost their coins. Binance basically said, sorry, here's your money that you lost. They gave him back the value of whatever dollar value of those coins.
Because, you got to understand, these exchanges are making a boatload of money.
They're making billions.
It's a boatload of money. So they want to make sure their clients are happy, their customers are happy.
Now, it's insured.
Are these crypto wallets with these exchanges, are they actually insured?
You want to know if they're audited? Like,
Well, hacking is a really big thing. Like, you can literally.
Absolutely. It's a big thing.
You can go from a multimillionaire to zero within seconds, and you can't do anything.
No. Well, let's clarify, because you're talking about having it on the exchange. You have to understand, Bitcoin blockchain has never been hacked.
Yeah, the actual network,
The network has never been hacked. It's almost impossible.
But the wallets have?
In the exchanges.
The exchanges.
The exchanges. So
the exchanges that will hold. That's called custodian. People are afraid to take accountability for themselves.
So me and Bob have cold storage. If we have our coins offline, we don't want to get too much in cold storage.
No. It's like it's in the cloud. It can't be hacked kind of thing.
Okay.
So most people will keep it on exchanges.
Okay.
Because they don't have to take the responsibility of securing their own Bitcoin.
Okay.
It's on the, like I said, you can use a CoinSquare, has the app. You see your Bitcoin daily. If you want to withdraw it or send it to somebody, you send it. I give you my wallet. You send it to me. CoinSquare has custody of your Bitcoin. That's why the saying goes, not your wallet, not your Bitcoin. You have public keys and private keys. They're two different They're two separate keys. Public key, everybody can see. I can send it to you. You give me your public address. The private keys only you have.
Okay.
That's what they say. If it's your keys, it's your coin. They're your coins.
So if someone had your private keys, yeah, then they could take your coins.
They could take your coins, yeah.
But the security on that is, what is it, 256, what is that?
Hashes? You want to get it? Let's not get it this time.
No, it's the encryption of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's too technical. Like that's way beyond.
Okay, so if I go to Coin Exchange and download a wallet.
Coin Square
and download a wallet from them.
No, you're gonna have their wallet. You're not downloading a wallet.
I will have their wallet.
Yes.
It's like a bank. It's like you go to open up a bank account at a bank. That account number is yours. But you don't own the account.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I have their wallet. Now, can I obtain Bitcoin from, or can I make transactions with you as another individual?
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're willing to sell your Bitcoin.
From that exchange, yeah. So yeah. you'll have a public key that you'll send. It's a series of numbers and letters, upper and lower case. You send and you can exchange with that.
Yeah, you say, Dave, send me 0.05 Bitcoin to this address.
Okay, so right now, like in December 2020,
yeah,
can I go to, I don't know, well, okay, I mean.
You want to know, can you buy a coffee with your phone and tap and?
Not a coffee. Can I pay for a Netflix subscription?
I don't know if Netflix accepts it, but there are places I know in California, you can buy, there's luxury cars. You can buy a car. You can buy a condo with Bitcoin.
Like a luxury car and a condo are not purchases that you're gonna make every day. Can I buy everyday purchases with Bitcoin now, today?
I don't even think you'd want to. The other cryptocurrencies serve for those fast micropayment transactions, which we're not gonna get into, but go ahead.
The short of it is, Toe, yes, you could.
You could. The short of it is yes.
If a place, a restaurant, I don't know, a manufacturer, whatever, like, if they're willing to take Bitcoin, which more and more companies are, yeah, then you could purchase whatever it is from there.
So do you know of companies in like small, not small companies, but I mean everyday shopping items in Toronto that accepts Bitcoin?
Well, at Vaughan Mills, there's an ATM, a Bitcoin ATM right in the center.
Where you can withdraw and add Bitcoin?
You can get Bitcoin, yeah, right there.
Do any
of the stores accept it?
Yeah, any retail outlets?
Not that I know of.
That's an easy Google search, and there are stores.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, because if you have money, I mean, I understand the concept of obtaining Bitcoin, letting it rise in value, and then cashing out. But then at the end, it seems like you're converting the Bitcoin to cash anyways.
Right now. Because we still use cash.
Yes. Yeah. Now.
Because. Yeah. Because if you look, I don't know if you've heard what's going on in the world, every country is coming up with a CBDC, which is a central bank digital coin. So eventually, maybe there's going to be interoperability where you change your Bitcoin for the Euro coin or the USD coin or whatever coin that the country uses.
Central banks are talking about CBDC, central bank digital currency. That might be coming out as soon as what, next year?
January, February, yeah.
Which would be that own countries, that specific countries.
So now see how they were having issues with giving those checks, those stimulus checks?
Yeah.
It's going to be a digital currency, boom, right there.
Look what happened with that guy who, what was it, 11 million in fraudulent claims or something?
Yeah.
It was here. Yeah,
with the insurance money, right?
No, with the stimulus checks or something.
Yeah, I know. He was defrauding.
Yeah. So now central banks will give you a digital wallet, and it's called airdropping. They'll just put your money will show up in that account.
So
you're going to have to download the wallet.
CRA
will give you a digital wallet. You'll have your private keys, so no one else has it. And then just like we talked earlier where you can send Dave money through CoinSquare, the government could send you directly. Your refund check will be a Canadian coin sent directly to you. You need unemployment insurance directly to you.
So you're talking speed, transaction fees lowered,
efficiencies. Less chance of fraud.
That seems like then that's in the future.
Right. Yeah.
A couple months, maybe a year into the future.
Oh, like the immediate future. Okay. Okay.
By the end of next year or in 2022 for sure.
Yeah. So I could see that too.
As of now, it seems like it's a lot like a stock.
It's speculative in that sense. Okay. Real use cases, there's few of them. There's not a lot of use case. So yes, in that sense, it's like a stock. It's speculative. People are starting to worry, so they want to buy, then it shoots it up, and maybe then they sell. So in that sense, yes, it is like a stock.
We're speculating on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to the mining of it. So if it's kind of like, they use that term mining. So if you're mining a resource, eventually you're going to deplete that resource. Can't you deplete? Is there a limit as to the number of Bitcoins that are available to be mined?
And you will deplete it. And that's the beauty of it. That's why it's deflationary. You can't make more. There's 21 million that was produced or will be produced. Of that 21, I think they
18.5 million has been mined up to this point, and 3 million have been lost. In the early days.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of Bitcoin left to mine. And it keeps getting more difficult to mine it as the number left to mine is reduced.
So do you think Bitcoin will become
the world currency?
Yeah, normal
currency. There is talk. There's talk that it will be everything will be pegged to Bitcoin. You know how before everything was pegged to gold?
Yeah.
Like the US dollar was pegged to gold. So if you had $10, that was actually $10 worth of gold. So they're talking that with this Bretton Woods 2.0.
The Bretton Woods Agreement was created in a 1944 conference of all of the World War II Allied nations, and it took place in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. And under the agreement, countries promised that their central banks would maintain fixed exchange rates between their currencies and the dollar.
This great reset of the system. Again, nobody knows. They're saying that everything will be pegged to Bitcoin. So Bitcoin could get to, I don't know, $10 million, but it can be divided 8 decimal places. So countries will back their digital coins by how much Bitcoin they had.
Right.
Will that happen? I don't know. I don't think so. I think because central banks need to have control of their money to print and issue whatever they want when they want.
So that was my next thing because it seems like it's a little bit, this whole concept is a little bit odd to me. So
it's odd to a lot of people though, Tom.
It is.
Yeah.
It's odd to a lot of people.
If you own a Bitcoin, you have over 20 grand today.
Yeah. Correct. In Canadian dollars.
In Canadian dollars.
Yeah.
Taxable today?
Yes, it would be considered as a capital gains tax if on the profit if you sell back to fiat. If you keep it as Bitcoin, no.
So if I transacted Bitcoin, let's say we get to a point where there's no more fiat currency aside from the digital currencies that exist, and I just want to transact in Bitcoin. I send Dave a Bitcoin, I send you, I go to the store. So I let's say I want to buy a coffee and it's 0.00001 Bitcoin. I'll just use that. And eventually it's going to be like, you know, tapping your phone or your credit card. That's what it'll become.
Technology is going to get to that point.
Yeah.
So
the infrastructure is being built.
So right now I can have a $20,000 Bitcoin and I can make a transaction. I can buy a car. Let's assume. With this $20,000 Bitcoin.
No, you can't get taxed on that because you've made a transaction. However, let's say Bitcoin goes to 100 grand by December 2021, which is what me and Bob are kind of predicting. We're kind of predicting, and it's gone on its course. But let's say that happens. Let's say now I want to cash out because I think I understand the volatility. I understand there's cycles in Bitcoin. There's going to be a crash. I'll get back in, but first I want it to crash. And I get out and I put it back to my fiat currency. I'm going to have to pay capital gains on the profit.
But if you don't cash out, if you make a transaction with the Bitcoin itself, you're not paying
capital,
on your Bitcoin.
No.
It's a purchase.
It's a purchase.
Isn't that like...
That's why they've had they've been having trouble. Is it an asset? Is it a currency?
This is what I'm saying. I kind of find that hard to believe, because if people have millions and millions of dollars in Bitcoin, but they're not paying anything on it, aren't governments losing?
No. Bitcoin's market cap is $350 billion.
It's a small percentage of people who own it.
Yeah, it's minuscule.
The U.S. actually came out and said it got regulated as a currency and as an asset.
It did.
They had to be very broad, because it does serve more than one purpose. So that's why they came out and made a broad... I think soon they're supposed to come out with their regulation. That's the talk. They're coming out very soon, and maybe within a month or two, with a firm regulation on Bitcoin.
The U.S. government.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then for us, we just follow, obviously.
Right, because it seems like it's extremely unregulated, right? Well, it's completely unregulated, no?
It's unregulated right now.
It is.
And all it is, when you say unregulated, all it is really in its essence was supposed to be created after the Great Recession. No trust of the bank, because nobody went to jail. Trillions of dollars of fraud, nobody went to jail. It's just a peer-to-peer transaction. We don't need a third party. I don't need PayPal to validate. I don't need Visa. I can send you money and me and you make the trade. That's it. I don't know you. I don't trust you, but Bitcoin will confirm and validate the transaction is legit.
Okay, so besides Bitcoin being, okay, and this is a massive thing, besides Bitcoin being worth so much money, what are the, like, one Bitcoin is 20 plus grand, you can get decimal places worth of Bitcoin. I'm having problems, besides having it as an asset, right now I can't use that asset unless I cash out, because I'm assuming there's not too many places that accept Bitcoin as currency. Not yet, but you're assuming within a few years that Bitcoin will become a common currency.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, just like we tap a debit card right now.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Now, are you assuming this, or you have true reason to believe that this is going to occur?
I mean,
Allison should know. What
is internet anyway?
Internet is that massive computer.
Well, I'll tell you one thing: the smartest people in the world are working on this Bitcoin protocol. There's something called, I don't want to get too technical, I don't even know all the terms and process how it works, but Lightning Network. It's being formed in the background. So it's a layer on top of the Bitcoin blockchain that is going to make transactions very quick.
Because right now they only do seven transactions per second. There's a block on average mined every 10 minutes. That's done intentionally.
So if I were to buy something right now, I would have to wait possibly 15 minutes at your coffee shop before you say, oh, yeah, okay, the transaction went through.
So that's how it is.
Yeah, because miners have to confirm the transaction. The bigger the transaction, sometimes with certain institutions, require more confirmations.
So where are these mines?
Most of them right now are where the electricity is cheapest, and it's in China. Right. But they're in Texas. There was a big
mining farm.
Yeah, a mining farm. They've $500 million. Don't quote me. I think they've invested on mining Bitcoin.
So there's companies. Companies are buying these. They call them mining rigs.
Yeah.
And they're spending millions and millions of dollars to set up these mining rigs to mine the Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Do we have any Canadian mining?
Yeah. Quebec. I think Quebec has. There are. I don't know. I know Quebec is big with the mining, and I think in BC as well. Not 100% sure.
And as technology improves, I'm hearing they're going to be able to mine Bitcoin with solar energy soon.
Right. They've been talking about renewable energy sources to mine.
Because through my – okay, so learning a little bit about it, there has to be because I'm assuming this is still brand new. People are still thinking it's a scam. I'm very apprehensive.
Okay, I know. Okay, what's the scam? This is what we gotta slice into this. What's the scam that you're thinking?
Because there's no one on the other end saying, "I'm gonna give me your money. I'm gonna
it's
scam."
It's decentralized.
You.
Because you can't
it's mathematical equation.
Because you can't use it yet. That's why.
But you can use it.
But you can.
You can't use it to do normal everyday things.
Okay, but so that's like saying, would you go buy a coffee with a $100 bill if you had a toonie and a loonie?
No.
Okay, that's the same kind of idea.
I will go to Metro, to a grocery store, and do $200 worth of grocery shopping.
Are you paying cash or are you're the cash man?
I'm cash man!
Oh, yeah!
So you might pay cash. People would use a credit card.
I usually use debit.
Okay, so do you see the money moving?
No, but that's my point. No, I don't. But
like, well, that's a scam. How do you know they're not scamming you?
No, but when it comes a point when I can do that with Bitcoin, then I would say, okay, now.
See, but like Dave said, there's other coins that do that you can do that. There's a coin called Litecoin that is quicker to settle transactions, and it would be more suited for those types of transactions.
But where can you use Litecoin?
Well, right now you can't because
this is okay. Why, okay. When the internet first came out, were all businesses, Rogers and Bell, and all these businesses lining up to say, "Yeah, this internet's great"? People were saying this is a scam.
What is internet anyway?
Yeah, they were saying the internet was a scam.
Who's gonna buy stuff online? That's stupid.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Amazon now?
No.
Do you see how technology takes some time? The difference now in 2020, almost 2021, anything in advancements in technology are just quicker and quicker. What is that? Moore's Law or something?
Yeah. The network effect and all that type of stuff.
So, okay. If you can't use Bitcoin at more retailers like that you can recognize next year at this time, I'll take you to Harbor 60. Dinner's on me. You can buy and drink whatever you want.
Why are you predicting that there's gonna be more retail? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, they're gonna have to. People are gonna kind of demand it. It's gonna become more commonplace.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for a time when if this is so big and it will become, according to you guys, or you're assuming it will become the norm or you know, the world's currency, then you have to be able to use it to buy normal things. It doesn't have to be Bitcoin. It could be other.
You know why I'm going to disagree with you, Till? Do you know what SDRs are?
No.
Okay.
They're called special drawing rights.
Those are only central banks have access to. The IMF has these. So
yeah,
certain countries borrow from them. So it's not even. It's like a separate money, an SDR. And you don't use it. So Bitcoin won't be that currency that you're going to be using. You're going to be using something else.
And Bitcoin is going to be the standard that you're going to settle against.
Yeah,
like gold.
I understand that.
Okay.
So you gotta, you know what you're not thinking of right now, and it's hard to because a lot of people can't think this way. Everything is becoming digitized. Everything.
Tokenized.
Yeah. Tokenized. Yeah. So for example, they have, let's say, there's a 10-year-old phenom in a sport. You can go to his parents who don't have a lot of money for the best training. Say, you know what? Let's tokenize little Tony. He looks like he's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal soccer player. I will issue tokens, and that's an investment. So we'll say $1 each token. Now, if he makes it to, I don't know, a best club in Europe, and he signs a big contract, now his token value went from $1 to maybe 100.
Right.
So we can't, a lot of people, we can, but a lot of people can't understand tokenization.
Stocks, isn't Dimwitty? Isn't Dimwitty for Dimwitty, the Nets?
Yes, from the Nets. He tokenized the part of his contract.
Right.
Really? So, yeah. So people, if he meets whatever was listed in his contract, I don't know. There was some performance bonuses. People are going to share in it. So he was smart by doing that because he made money. He collected money from others on top of his contract. So if he doesn't meet those bonuses, he still got paid. That tokenized part won't increase in value. What's his face there? The commissioner, he wasn't happy. But this is going to be more and more. Some athletes are asking to be paid in Bitcoin. They're starting to figure that out.
They're starting, yeah.
I've never heard that.
Well, you can Google it. Look,
yeah, no, perfect, I'm not saying okay. I dispute that. I'm okay. Not saying I don't believe that. I've never heard that. I'm okay.
So. You know what Amazon, one share of Amazon cost right now?
No.
What is it, about 1,500?
Amazon? 3,200.
Like, oh, 32. Is that 32? Well, yeah. See, I don't even follow. Okay. $3,200 for one stock, one share.
Yeah.
How many people do you think can afford to buy one share of Amazon?
Well, if they really wanted it, I think quite a bit.
It's still difficult. You have 32 liquid
$100 just like that lying around?
$1,200?
Yeah. I'm sure you can go get it, but I'm talking
about that's what I'm saying.
Okay, a regular person doesn't have that kind of money because the stock has gotten so expensive.
Right.
You can actually tokenize stocks now.
Now, why has Amazon stock gotten so expensive?
What do you mean? COVID. The company has a bottom line, they're doing more business.
Okay, so they're doing more business, and that's why, right? They're doing.
Are you
going
to ask me why is Bitcoin getting more expensive?
Yes.
Why? Just like gold, just like gold, scarcity. It is the most scarce asset on the planet right now.
And the more people buy it, the more it becomes in demand because the supply is less. There's an infinite supply of it.
Big shot Bitcoin Bob meant that there's a finite supply, not an infinite supply. He even makes mistakes.
So just based on the principle of supply and demand, it's going to go up.
And you know what's pushing the price right now as we're speaking? Institutional investors are starting to put about 1% to 3% of their portfolio into Bitcoin as a hedge to the inflationary issues that are going on right now.
Because countries, major central banks are printing money left and right. And as you print more money, the money, the cash man, cash in his pocket is becoming
is getting devalued.
Less and less.
Our parents were able to put money in the bank account and get 9% or whatever it was. You're not getting that anymore.
No, not even close.
So what they're
You're actually losing money.
Yeah. So the way they're pushing you forward, they want you to spend money, not save. They're encouraging you to be a spender, not a saver. Because if how are they enticing you? If they give you 9% a bank account, you're going to say, hey, I want to save some of my money. I'm not going to buy a new car right now. I don't need a new car.
So the allure of Bitcoin then is not its purchasing power because it doesn't really have any. It's its scarcity.
Yes, yes.
And because of what's going on. I'll tell you, I think personally, I don't know, I could be wrong. If governments were more fiscally responsible and weren't printing all this money, I believe Bitcoin wouldn't be where it's at. Because of this, institutional investors are now saying, okay, I have cash reserves. If I have $1 million right now, next year, that's not going to be worth $1 million. My purchasing power is being reduced every year. So how do I hedge against that? Bitcoin. So if governments weren't printing so much money, these institutional investors would say, I would just sit on my cash because I know it's going to retain its value next year, the year after, etc. But it's not.
Okay,
and
so
if you look at why costs are going up, it's because they keep printing more money. That's inflation.
And that can't happen with Bitcoin.
No.
It's deflationary because there's a set limit.
And then every 4 years, the supply gets halved.
Cut in half. That's why it's deflationary. It's the opposite.
Is it possible to hack the blockchain?
It's possible, but what is it, Bob? What do you need? Quantum computers that we don't have right now?
Yeah, they say even with I read something, they said even with if and when, they're not even sure that quantum computers will actually be viable. But if they did, I think there's something they can change in the code to upgrade, to protect against that.
Because hasn't the blockchain, I don't know what the word is, but mutated a couple of times?
No, it forked.
It forked.
Oh, yeah, okay. It split or something?
Yeah, let's not get into that. That's just basically consensus and people agreeing and disagreeing on stuff. So people say, forget it then. You don't agree? I don't agree with you, Bob and Ton. I'm going to make my own. I'm going to fork off of Bitcoin and I'm going to get people to follow my blockchain. Do you understand what I mean? That's the fork. But you and Bob, you have the real core. You're the core Bitcoin.
Okay. So seeing as now so Bitcoin is nowhere near, well, I don't think anyways, it's nowhere near mainstream yet.
No.
Why? So there has to be some disadvantages to it.
No, there's no, you know what it is? People are, like you said, I think it's a scam. So they have that mindset. They're used to the legacy banking system where I put my money in the bank. I know it's safe. You can use cash. You see cash. Although really now, how many cash transactions go on? Most of it's just digital. Your bank, your paycheck goes directly to your bank.
It's You're debit not seeing and credit it. Usually right now.
Yeah, right now it's debit and credit.
It's not
right.
And you're paying fees on your credit card.
Yeah. So people, it's not mainstream because I'll tell you, it's not as easy to send. For us, it's easy. But for me to send you Bitcoin, you have to get a wallet or go to exchange. But eventually, and again, this is where I say the brightest minds are working on this stuff. And not only Bitcoin, in the whole crypto field, where you're eventually going to have like an e-transfer. I could put in you can end up making Tony Rick, UFFL, 2-time champion as your address. So I'll have that saved, click, send it to you, just like I e-transfer you money.
So do you remember how difficult email used to be?
Yeah, it was a pain.
Pain. You couldn't even send, you're not sending a video file. You're not sending any of that.
No.
To even send a regular email, it was difficult, but
that
it evolved.
That didn't even exist.
Right, but it evolved.
Right.
It got better. It improved exponentially. And now it's part of our regular vocabulary email.
So like Bob was saying, the reason why it's not mainstream is still people's attitudes towards it.
But the network has over 10 million people and it keeps growing. And the more it grows, that's the network effect. The more it grows, the more money gets put in, the better it becomes. And eventually that's going to be... So the reason why Bitcoin is the godfather of all the cryptos is because it was the first blockchain, A. B, you don't know who the central person is. Maybe some listeners know that there's this thing called Ethereum. That's the second crypto. But we know Ethereum, the main face of Ethereum is Vitalik Buterin. Okay? He's the main face. There is no main face of Bitcoin. Bitcoin was never advertised. It grew organically. It grew initially computer people making transactions with each other. And then I think May 2011, they call it Bitcoin Pizza Day. It was the first time that it actually was traded for something tangible. And it was like 10,000 Bitcoin for two pizzas. That's when it arrived to the market.
So as of now, So other than the possible, because from what I understand is these mining farms, they use tons of electricity. So
that's why China has the cheapest electricity. That's why a lot of the mining happens there. A lot of the hash power is in China.
So as of now, other than the damage to the environment to mine it, there's no disadvantage to having it. You can't see it.
Well, it could go, if nobody uses it anymore, it goes to zero.
Okay. That's what I was going to say.
But right. There's a core of Bitcoin maximalists that even when the pandemic hit in March, that's when they said Bitcoin has arrived for good. It weathered that. You know, when the stock market crashed in March, Bitcoin went to 3,500 and then boom, right back there, people right away buying it up. And it recovered.
There was a panic. Yeah, it dropped hard, but then it actually rebounded faster than
any other asset class.
Yeah.
More volatile than other.
It will mature. The volatility will be reduced as the market matures.
And actually, the volatility is less than some stocks now. It used to be really volatile, but
very volatile
before. Now, as it matures, it's actually less volatile than a lot of some stocks on the market.
So right now, basically, the disadvantages to having it, I guess, if you want to say that, the disadvantages to having it are there's really nothing you can spend it on yet. It's not mainstream. Transactions are inconvenient, I guess is a good word. They're inconvenient. Is there a fee associated with transactions?
Yes.
Small. Someone sent, what was it, $9 billion and it cost them $3 or something?
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Fine. There's no fee. That's nothing. So other than the inconvenience of making transactions and the...
It's not even inconvenient. Like I can send some money to somebody in Russia right now and it'll take 15 minutes. They'll get the money. You want to know how long it would take? There was this scenario. Bob knows this, I think. You could have flown your money to England before, and you'd get there before a bank would send the check of whatever amount you wanted.
So let's say right now you're in Europe, and I wanted to send you money from here. It would be faster if I just book a flight, fly it over to you, than what the banking system can send to you.
Right.
Yeah, but now with e-transfers, that...
No, not cross-border transactions.
You can't e-transfer cross-border.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. But I could send you a Bitcoin in 15 minutes. You're in Europe. You get it. That's why we're saying that if I went to the UK, it's more efficient for me to fly there
and deliver the money myself
than use the banking system.
And as far as Bitcoin goes, you can transfer Bitcoin without any.
It's borderless. It's borderless. Yeah, it's open source. Yeah. Yeah. We're trying. I know it's hard. I don't know. Sometimes I don't even know if I make sense when I talk about this. All I know is we've been in it. The first time I was introduced to Bitcoin, I said to Bob, I subscribed to Fortune magazine and it was an issue in 2012. And I look at this, I see Bitcoin. Like, what the heck is this Bitcoin? And it was $20 of Bitcoin at the time. And I show Bob this article and I go, what the heck is this? And then the way Bob's mind works is like, we got to get on this. We got to figure out how to capitalize. That's why he's Big Shot Bitcoin Bob. Big Shot Bitcoin Bob, can he help you? Big Shot Bitcoin Bob, yes, he can. He's got the Bitcoin, you know it's true. He always knows just what to do. Bob and the gang have so much fun. Yes, they do. Working together, they get the job done. Big Shot Bitcoin Bob, can he help you? Big Shot Bitcoin Bob, of course he can. Everything is like, we got to capitalize in this. And you know what? Back in the day, 2013, 14, very sketchy.
We lost, me and Bob lost money in Mt. Gox, which was the first exchange, not the first exchange, but it was the only like real big exchange, and it got hacked, took all our money. So then people, it crashed. People say, that's it. Bitcoin's done. You can go to 99bitcoins.com and obituaries for Bitcoin, steady. But it, what does it do? It always comes back. You know what I mean? It's not dying. Everybody says, you can go and see how many times people have written Bitcoin. That's it. It's finished. It's a scam. It's gone. And it always comes back stronger, better, more efficient. The network grows.
So, Todd, you said about what you can do with Bitcoin, but do you think gold is valuable?
Yes.
So what can you do with a bar of gold?
That's a good point. That's what I was, when I was asking the questions, that's what I was thinking of as well. You can, right. Well, Dave had compared Bitcoin, or you had, to gold, where gold is in demand. It's something that we want.
It's just a hedge. It's a hedge. You get gold for a hedge. You're not really about the jewelry and stuff like that.
Right. It's something that's in limited supply, and it's because of that, it's in demand, and it's worth money.
Right.
So I'm assuming Bitcoin would be the same concept. It'd be the same concept.
That's the same.
So right now, it's unregulated. Governments are not involved. When governments get involved, I can't see governments allowing it to remain unregulated. Like, governments are eventually, they have to get involved. I can't see them saying, okay, all this cross-border transactions, and they're not going to get a piece. They're not going to know what's going on. There's no paper trail left behind, or there's no real trail left behind. They have to get involved. I'm assuming when that happens, will things change? If it happens.
Well, I think governments will try to ban Bitcoin. And that actually increases Bitcoin's legitimacy, because that's an open market. Let people choose. If I want to have Bitcoin, let me choose to have Bitcoin. If you're going to ban me, we have that precedent. People in the US were trying to ban gold, but there was that precedent to change that.
And so what will happen, what is it called? Game theory or something?
Yeah, game theory.
Let's say your country bans it. Dave's going to say, you know what? I'm not going to ban it. I'll allow it, because then I can get some transaction fees or whatever. It'll help my economy. Mm-hmm. So then that country will use it, and the next one will have to say, okay, we're not banning it anymore.
China tried to ban the exchanges. They took that off. Russia was banning the use of it. They took that ban away, because when you ban something that's, what I know that people want to use as money, people are gonna be like, why are you banning that? What's so bad about it? And you bring attention to
more demand.
It increases the demand for it. Cause like, what's the point of banning it? What's the secret? Why does the government want to ban it? Didn't they try doing that with alcohol prohibition? Like, you can't do, ban it. Go ahead, ban it.
Toad, there is, now it made me think of one disadvantage. If nobody knows your keys and you die, that Bitcoin's lost forever. But there is now
because there was a case of that, wasn't there?
Yeah,
Bob?
There was a RX guy. They're saying maybe he faked his death. I don't know, because he had the keys to that exchange, and it was a gone show. But there is now a company that will. For, you know how you do your estate planning?
That's what I was going to say, yes.
How you pass along your Bitcoin now.
Oh, they're doing that?
Yeah.
You see how things are evolving?
Yeah, that's something I thought of.
You know what? So Andreas Antonopoulos, they consider him Bitcoin Jesus. So, and I, on my last episode of Bitcoin, I put that in the links, in the resources. He's saying that Bitcoin is a network. If you want to utilize it or just envision it, it's like a Ferrari driving on a cobblestone road. Right now, when we get paved roads, you're going to see this thing fly.
Yeah. Okay. And that's my point. Now, Bob, you said you're assuming as early as next year, by this time next year, 2021, that more retailers will accept Bitcoin as or payment. Even crypto for cryptos as mainstream currency.
I think
you're as payment, no as payment.
Yeah, fine, as payment. And if not, you're gonna take me to Harbor 60 and I can drink and eat whatever I want.
It won't matter because Bitcoin will be almost at 100K, so I'll have no problem with.
Well, we don't know that for sure. That's the prediction.
I'm recording this.
Yes,
I honestly believe there's going to be September, October of 2021, maybe the following year. I don't a major crash. And it'll be the reset that everyone's these World Economic Forum's talking about, and Bretton Woods 2.0, all this stuff. And it'll be it'll culminate with shifting over to this fourth industrial revolution, where it's tokenization, automation, all this stuff.
Okay, Bob, I have a question for you since you're Triple B. So we know people in the financial sector. They understand economics and finance. Why do those people, and that's what Tan's saying about scam. Those are the people that are kind of poo-pooing this Bitcoin network. I even scratch my head and I'm wondering, what's the resistance?
I just think it's how they're...
I know you learned. Can't speak for them. I just want to kind of just try.
I think that's how they're learned. I equate that to doctors. Doctors know what they know, and that's it. They won't hear anything about someone saying, oh, you know what? I used a lifestyle change, nutritional change to change my health. They don't see it. Most doctors don't look at nutrition the same way. So I just think that they're financial
people. But they're not wrong when they say it's speculative, like Tan was saying.
No, not at all. But then what's not?
There's some stability in the dollar. People will say there's stability in the dollar. That's why I want to use it. It doesn't fluctuate.
Okay, in that sense, sure. But you can look at it in a different way and say, okay, the U.S. in the last 6 months has printed more money than its entire history. That's not going to have an effect somewhere down the line?
But it's still like if I go to buy bread or milk, I'm still paying
$3,
$2.
What makes that $5 bill in your pocket worth $5? Because it's not $5 worth of paper. It's not $5 worth of labor to make it.
The amount of purchasing power it has.
Oh, but who determines that? You know what you're basically saying? Trust. You trust that you go to a retailer, they're going to acknowledge that $5 as $5 because the government says so, and you can trust the government because we'll just make money. But then look what happens in Venezuela, Zimbabwe, where they had a $1 trillion banknote.
But people will say
they lost trust in the money. They weren't using it anymore.
Right. But people say we have more stability here. Those aren't developed country problems. Yeah.
And you know what? Some people I spoke to said, oh, lockdowns and things like that, they happen only in third world countries. It would never happen here.
That's a good point.
And look what happened in all the industrialized nations. Lockdowns everywhere. Where are civil rights? So anything's possible. You know the saying, don't let a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah, but like you said, Dave, like you have a good term there. You said it's speculative. Right now,
it is speculative.
It still is.
For the masses.
For the masses.
Yes.
Because if you talk to the people who are involved in this, and you got to understand, there's a lot of people involved in developing cryptos that aren't making a salary.
No.
They're not getting paid to do this. They're doing it because they believe. They're putting their sweat and tears. So when people say there's no value, go tell that engineer, that blockchain engineer, which told him that's another job that never existed before. Before it was computer engineering, now they're specific blockchain engineer. So you go talk to these guys who are working day and night on making this better and to a point where, yes, it could be mass adopted and all this, that there's no labor in that. They're working hard on it and not getting paid. Why? Because they believe in it.
So I guess to wrap it up, what are the cons? Before I ask the pros, what are the cons to Bitcoin?
I just told you. The only thing that I could think of if you have your keys and someone doesn't have them and you die, they're gone. That Bitcoin's
gone. So that
would
be the only con to Bitcoin. It's not, so it's not like it can crash to zero.
It could crash to zero.
So if it crash, it could crash to zero. If there's a solar flare and it destroys our internet infrastructure, then Bitcoin's nothing. But
no,
then,
the blockchain still exists because they're talking about internet without
correct
like, satellites.
They're putting up the blockchain satellite. You're right. So it still exists.
It still exists.
I'm just saying, if there's some cataclysmic event that puts us behind, no one's going to care about money and Bitcoin. People are going to be worrying about water and food.
Yeah,
so
okay. I'm not talking
that's
about
irrelevant. That. So yeah, to me, there's no. I told you the only downside to Bitcoin for me is if nobody has my keys and I died and all my Bitcoin's gone.
I'm going to concur with that. I don't really see the downside to having this phenomenal innovation that is a once in a lifetime that we have an opportunity in our lifetime to be a part of. I think it's revolutionary.
So one thing I will go ahead.
If Bitcoin becomes mainstream and more people get into it, you guys are not, I don't know, apprehensive or afraid of increased hacking?
No, the blockchain
never been hacked.
Not the blockchain, the exchanges.
But I don't have. We don't have it on exchanges.
Oh, because you have it offsite.
Yeah, we have some on an exchange because it's actually earning interest, unlike your bank account.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's another topic.
But one thing I'm going to tell you, maybe 2-3 years ago, financial planners would say, you know what, Bitcoin, yeah, I heard of it, but you don't want to invest in it. You don't want to keep it in a portfolio. It would be irresponsible if you did. Now you know what they're saying? Fast forward 2-3 years. It's irresponsible if you don't have at least 2-4% of Bitcoin in your portfolio. So BlackRock,
it's been the best performing asset.
Yeah. This is going to be, in the next 10 years, it will be the best performing asset, hands down. And it's life-changing, where it's still at a point where people can get involved, and it will make a huge difference in their life.
Okay, I was going to ask you, what are the pros? Well, that sums it up. That's a pretty good pro.
I'll tell you, just from a user perspective, me and Bob still get, he just transacted now and was like, it didn't go through. I said, relax, there's got to be some time. Like, even we get a little bit apprehensive, but it always without fail executes.
So we were so afraid at first to transact. I remember,
and I'll tell you why, Bob, let me interject for a second. I'll tell you why, because there's people now that are in it. They don't have that fear that me and Bob have when we transact, because we transacted during the quote sketchy unquote times. So we still have that in our mind. Whereas if you transacted now, you're like, what are you talking about? It works without fail.
And I would assume that the transactions will just become faster and faster. And
Yes.
So they become immediate.
Yes.
So we got our wallets. I said, okay, Dave, I'm going to send you 0.1 Bitcoin, which was at that time, maybe $20, not even. And, we were on the phone. I go, did you get it?
Just to see if it would go through.
Every time you moved a Bitcoin, let's say, I would always move a micro Bitcoin, like a 0.01.
We were afraid to move the whole thing. We wanted to see if the transaction would go through.
Because how you said it was sketchy, we were scared. So I moved it. Okay, I got it. Okay, now I can move the rest. And then we used to look at the code. Like I told you, it's the digits and the upper and lowercase letters. I would make sure everyone matched. Now you could cut and paste. And
now I just copy and paste. Yeah. I don't even worry. I just copy and paste. But before I'd be like 7, capital D.
T, small B.
Small,
QR5.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
Well, that's all. That's it. That was good.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate, you know what? I really appreciate the questions. I mean, like I said, me and Bob aren't experts. We have a lot of experience in the use of it.
Just doing it, that's it.
And I can kind of end with this. So Do you, how do you get to work?
I drive.
You drive. Okay. Do you know how to drive?
Some people would say no,
but yeah, pretty much you do know how to. Okay. If I open the hood and I said, explain to me all the parts, the motor, would you be able to tell me that?
No.
But you know how to drive the car.
Yes.
But you don't know how it really works.
No.
But you use it.
But I use it.
Internet. Do you know the IP, TCP protocols and the code? No. What do you care about?
You use it.
That you put www.bitcoinstheboss.com and it works.
That's right.
So that's the same with Bitcoin. I mean, there's so much under the hood, but at the core, it's a peer-to-peer transaction. That has evolved into, I think, a store of value now.
So what you're saying is that $550, I should have bought the Bitcoin with it.
I was urging you. Buy the Bitcoin. Buy the Bitcoin. You're like, no, I'll take the cash. And
I'm the cash man. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to get into our guess what segment. And just like last week, I had my guest deliver the questions to me. So that's what we're going to do right now. Ton, you're going to take over the guess what segment and the floor is yours. Guess
what?
Okay. So this is just a general knowledge section about Bitcoin to see how much you guys know about Bitcoin. so you can work together.
Oh, we can work together. Yeah, I love it. Thank together. You. I appreciate that.
But there might be a couple questions where I pin you guys against each other to see who's
okay.
More knowledgeable. All right. So question one, you can work together on this one. Who invented Bitcoin?
Okay. We don't even need to work together. Yeah. Satoshi Nakamoto.
All right. Question two. When was Bitcoin invented?
2000, after the financial crisis, the Great Recession was 2009.
2009 was the first.
The first block. Genesis block was 2009.
Based on my research, it was invented in
invented in 2008, but the Genesis block was in 2009.
Yes, the first transaction.
It was invented in 2008. Yes. What is, and I'll give you a $500 difference.
Okay.
What is the price of Bitcoin today?
In Canadian USD, or American?
Yeah,
Canadian.
23,000.
Ideal in USD.
Canadian.
I'm going to say 23,500.
Me, I know 19.7, it dropped a little, so 19.1, 19.2 American.
Which is Canadian and what?
22,000. Say 22,000. Take an 22, average.
Sure.
22,000 Canadian.
Dave, you were closer. 24,265.
But it dropped right now as we speak. It's closer to what we just said.
Oh, damn. Oh, you guys lost some money, eh?
Yeah, we lost some money.
What is 1/1000th of a Bitcoin called?
A micro Bitcoin.
A milli Bitcoin.
Ah, that's right. Oh. Thank you. That's right.
What is 1/100,000,000th? Of a Bitcoin called
a Satoshi.
Yeah. I thought I had you guys there. You really do know.
It takes 100 million Satoshis to make one Bitcoin.
Yes.
So we think we're going to be transacting in Satoshis in the future. Like, you want to go to the movies? That's 20 Satoshis.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
One hundred millionth of a Bitcoin. All right. You've mentioned it before. You should know this. How many Bitcoin are there?
21 million.
21 million.
All right. Which pizza place was bought using Bitcoin in 2010?
Yeah, that was the Bitcoin pizza day that I was talking about. It was 10,000.
Well, what?
I don't know what the place Domino's. Was called. Was it Domino's? I don't know.
Domino's.
No, it was not.
Papa John's?
Yes, it was.
Yeah! Papa John's. I don't know why I remembered that.
How did you know that?
Because it's called Pizza Day. Everybody celebrates.
No, but Papa John's?
Yeah, Papa
John's. That's a good call, Dave. That's a good call.
Yes.
That is a good call, Dave.
Damn.
Symbol for Bitcoin.
A B.
BTC.
What's the symbol? What do you mean?
The logo.
The logo. It's just a yellow circle with a white B and a dollar sign.
Yes. Good. Yeah. You had mentioned it before. Which country banned trading Bitcoins in 2018? And then I guess they removed the ban.
Russia.
Russia. China as well.
China, Russia.
Yes. China. Okay. Good. Good. And last question I got for you. And I'm going to pit this one against you guys.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I'm going to pit this one against you guys. As of 2017, how many Bitcoins have been stolen from cryptocurrency exchanges? As of 2017, how many Bitcoins have actually been stolen from the exchanges? Dave?
This is kind of like a vague question because there's been coins that have been stolen and then retrieved back, like what happened with the KuCoin hack, and they basically recovered all the coins that were taken. I'm going to say, I'll take a guess. I'll say 3 million. I think that's too high, but I'll say 3 million.
Bob?
I would say 1 million.
Bob, I can see why you're big shot. 900,000, Bob. I can see why you're a big shot, Bitcoin Bob. Boy, that's all I got. Great job. Very well done.
Were you impressed with our responses, Tom?
Oh, yeah. What the heck? I thought I was going to get you on some of them. At least I got you on something. I was very impressed with your responses.
Thanks, boys. I really appreciate the time. And again, as usual, this is always fun. And thanks for your efforts, Tom.
Oh, I had a great time, boys. Thank you very much. And maybe I should have got there.
Can I have a final question?
Yeah, 100%.
Will you be investing in Bitcoin in the near future?
I think I will.
We got him, Bob. We got him.
We got him.
You've convinced me.
Yes. We got another. We got another comer.
Tom, we got your brother.
You reeled in the fish. You're really amazing.
No, fish, you're going to be hugging us when COVID's over.
I'm looking forward to eating that steak next year, Bob.
All right, boys. Thanks
a
lot.
I'll be probably paying in Bitcoin.
All right. Cheers, boys.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
What is everybody waiting for? Bitcoin is perhaps the greatest asymmetric investment of a lifetime. You are risking very little for potentially massive gains. That is the definition of an asymmetric investment. Take a chance. Nothing in life is guaranteed, but at least learn about it. You know the saying, quote, if you're the smartest person in the room, find another room, end quote. I'm always looking for new rooms, and I'm beginning to think I'm an agnostic and a pragmatist. I'm worshiping curiosity and learning. I hope we're able to give you a bit of value today, perhaps even piqued a little interest in Bitcoin. If there are still some other questions you have, feel free to email me, david@TucciTalks75.com. Visit the website, TucciTalks75.com. Thanks to all for listening and supporting me. Subscribe to the podcast so you can keep up to date. Next week, we will be looking at the real estate market, where hopefully we have some valuable information and a few tips if anyone is interested in buying or selling a home. That is it for me. We will meet again next Monday. Before I go, a big happy birthday goes out to the cash man, Tony Rick, as his birthday was yesterday, December 6th. Stay safe, people. Christmas is fast approaching. Try to give a bit of cheer to one another. And never forget to add, that is right, a little funk to your day.